Hello, podcast listeners and all you growers out there. Jordan River here. Thank you for tuning into GrowCast today. Today, we got a different type of episode. You know, we've got a really nice YouTube channel going on, and we're working on expanding our YouTube channel. So today is an excerpt from an interview that Rob Smith did for our YouTube channel. You can find our YouTube channel by going to growcastpodcast.com/YouTube, or just search for us. You'll find us up there. And if you didn't know, you can listen to all the GrowCast episodes there if you don't have access to your podcast app, if you're at work or whatever. And yeah, make sure you give us a subscribe. We're trying to grow that channel. We want to put up some more video coming in 2020. And this is just the beginning here. So we want to give you a little taste and get you subscribed up at our YouTube channel. So much exciting stuff going on. One thing I want to drop on you guys right now, we're really excited to implement our GrowPass charity program for our membership program at mygrowpass.com. Starting in 2020, we're going to be giving away $1 for every Veg member and $2 for every Bloom member who signs up for their GrowPass membership to a different charity. We're going to partner with one charity per quarter. We're going to switch them up. And I'm so excited to announce that our first charity partner is going to be none other than Northwest Families for Autism, the charity that Jinx runs. You guys know Jinx, the breeder from Jinx Proof Genetics. Well, he is going to be our first charity partner, and we're so excited to donate every quarter to a different charity, and the more the program grows, the more we give. So that's really cool. There's a lot of really cool stuff I want to say, but honestly, let's just give a little love to our sponsor and get into the show, shall we? Humble Garden Lenses, everybody. Just go to humblegarden.co. Promo code GROWCAST gets you 15% off your lenses, and members at mygrowpass.com get 25% off their lenses at Humble Garden Lenses, everybody. You know Humble Garden Lenses, right? If you grow under HPS bulbs, taking photos of your garden can be tricky. Well, it's just downright impossible to get a good shot under that yellow light. Well, Humble Garden smartphone filters take the same technology from light-correcting glasses and apply it to your smartphone. You just clip on this nice little lens over your smartphone, and suddenly, under HPS light, you're taking beautiful, perfect, crisp, balanced photos, showcasing your garden the way it was meant to be seen. So check it out, everybody. Humblegarden.co, promo code GROWCAST for 15% off, mygrowpass.com for 25% off. So today's show is Rob interviewing Chappie from Basque Cannabis, voted the best cannabis in Massachusetts. And they talk about what's going on in the industry on the East Coast and different laws. And then in the second half, they get into some great grow talk. Talk about growing advice, home growers, really cool stuff. So let's dive into today's episode, everybody. I want to thank you all for listening. Please enjoy the show.
Hey guys, Rob with GrowCast here, and a little talking seaweed, co-hosting or guest hosting, I guess we can call it. And I'm here with Chappie, the CEO of Basque, voted, was it 2018's? Best medical cannabis dispensary in the state of Massachusetts.
So we're actually in 2019.
We're in 2019. Yeah. Was it last year's award or
no? We just got it this week. I should say Thursday. We got it last Thursday.
Congratulations.
So best of the best.
Best of the best. That's pretty big news.
Yeah, for us here, local, it's definitely big.
Well, I mean, just the fact that cannabis and a cannabis dispensary is included in those best of the best awards.
Definitely.
Goes a long way to where we've come from.
Yeah, we didn't really expect it. Didn't think there was going to be a category.
Yep.
For a dispensary. Originally, it was going to be put in as shopping, but then they actually made a category for a dispensary.
Yep. That's awesome. So you just took us on an incredible tour of your facility here in Fairhaven, Mass. So thank you for the incredible detail that you provided us. But can you give us just a brief rundown of the overall size and the setup and what you guys do here?
Sure. So this is a co-located dispensary, meaning we have cultivation in here, we have processing and retail. It's about 10,000 square feet. We have 4,000 square feet for retail and patient services, and we have about 6,000 for cultivation and processing.
Okay, so you service all of your patients right here, but you do sell some of your flower and products to other dispensaries throughout the state?
We do. So really, we're probably in a dozen dispensaries right now.
Yep.
But yeah, we do a pretty good wholesaling. For us, patient numbers and town-wise, we're not in the city. So for us to keep moving, we need to be able to wholesale.
So we took a tour of your new facility, and that is going to be pretty much sun-grown with some light deprivation and obviously some some supplemental lighting.
Correct.
Talk to us about that transition from your current facility here to the not only larger but a completely different grow style over there.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a game changer for us. It's going to change, you know, a lot of the way we do things. I think for us, at least the systems will be the same. The systems we use here right now are actually what we're going to be using in Freetown. But, you know, growing under the natural sun, it's definitely not like growing under high-pressure sodium. We will have supplemental lighting because, you know, it does like to get pretty gray around here.
Sure.
But definitely we're going to have to change a few things around. Even just the move. I don't think we can actually just open up the greenhouse and let our plants put them in there right away without, you know, blocking out some of the sun.
Sure. Tim and I talked earlier about having different cultivars and phenotypes that respond differently to the HPS versus the sun-grown and supplemental lighting. You, as you know, the CEO of Basque and you know, technically the head grower here. What do you anticipate being the problems that you're going to come across when you make that transition?
I love to say we're going to have no problems. I think, you know, I've been elevating humidity already.
Yep.
I think that's probably going to be our biggest issue is a little bit on the heat side, but, you know, more humidity. I haven't had any botrytis. I haven't had any, you know, mold issues. There are some cultivars that we have here that are literally rock solid. So I'm hoping that they can make it in the greenhouse. If not, we'll find some new ones. But some of the ones that we have grown here are actually specifically for greenhouse. But we're bred right in the greenhouse too.
Okay.
So I think those are going to do well though. DNA, you know, banana split, bred in the greenhouse, for a greenhouse. That's going to do well. Lemon Jeffrey is going to do well. That's, you know, wasn't bred in the greenhouse, but I've seen it. So I think the majority of our strains here, I'm thinking they're gonna make it.
So GrowCast is, you know, really we focus on the home grower. But we do have lots of people that are trying to make that transition to an outdoor or a greenhouse type setting. What are the things that you're gonna look for when making the transition from indoors to, you know, greenhouse type setting in those cultivars that might make you pull a strain out and not continue that?
I think, you know, when it comes, you know, veg time, you know, I'm actually kind of wondering about stretch.
Yep.
We have some that actually stretch quite a bit here. When we add that different spectrum in the greenhouse, I have some that I'm close to not being able to keep here. And so I'm hoping that those maybe have a little less stretch over there, but, you know, they're probably going to outgrow what they really need to be. So.
What was that strain that we saw that was like 8 inches tall and you said it's going to be 4 feet tall by the time it's done?
That's Ringo's Gift. You know? So it's, you know, technically it tests as hemp, it's cannabis, but I call it Stretchosaurus because literally we put it in at 8 inches and it'll grow 4 feet tall.
Yeah, these were like clones that we saw. And they're going to be massive by the time you're done flowering, or by the time they're done stretching.
Here we, you know, we're restricted on, you know, on headspace.
Yep.
I will say, you know, I think we have 16 foot gutters there, so I do have a little extra room, which is going to be nice. But we'll definitely have to change. Well, actually, trellising. We'll probably end up having a trellis as well. You saw we didn't have any trellising back there.
Right.
So that's probably another change that we'll have to make.
Yeah, we saw lots of plants in 1 gallon pots, and obviously that's very different than any home grower experiences. Home growers are all limited by number of plants that we can grow, not the size of space that we can grow in. But what kind of tips or grow styles can we pull from this type of grow and apply them to a home grower? Because I know you have experience in that type of setting.
Yeah, you know, I started off as a home grower and, you know, kind of, you know, patient, then caregiver, and then bam, dispensary. But I started off in, you know, 3x3 cubes. So I think depending on what you're trying to do as a home grower, kind of dictates how you want to grow. You know, as a home grower, when I first started, like I said, when I was hydro, it was 3x3 cubes. I've grown in 3 gallons, 5 gallons, 10 gallons, 35 gallons, depending on, you know, one, what you're doing with product, if it's just for myself and my family. But, you know, pretty much all the basic fundamentals that you have back here can be put into your home grow. You know, I think the difference is the tagging plants and how to move plants. You know, everything's in a system, seed to sale tracking. But for the majority, growing a plant is growing a plant. And whether you're at home or you're in a commercial type atmosphere, it's all the same fundamentals.
Well, I think in Rhode Island, even home growers have to pay $25 for a plant tag. It seems high to me, but...
Yeah, so I left, you know, right as they were requiring plant tags. I'm like, all right, see you later.
Right.
But yeah, I believe it's still in the play.
Yeah.
And so when I grew in Rhode Island, you know, we had a 24 plant limit.
Yeah.
And we grew 3-pound trees into it.
Right.
You know, but that's what we were supposed to do.
Right.
You know? I guess I could have grown small ones, but you know, we decided to grow big ones.
Well, I mean, what's the point when you are limited to the number of plants you can grow versus the size of space that you can grow into? There's definitely a balance, I think, but you guys have definitely taken the smaller plant, less veg time. Can you tell me what the sizes of your veg space versus the size of your flower spaces?
Sure.
Put that in relation.
So I have about 900 square feet in veg right now, but you can see that we were double tier.
Yep.
So about 1,800, and yep. Then you know on the flower side would pretty much double that. You know, kind of standard, you know, mathematics, standard numbers. But I need that to be able to produce continuously every day and move plants every day. So
now in the home grow setting, that's typically swapped.
Sure.
You need twice as much veg space as you do flower space. Yep. Because you're vegging them out for a lot longer to get those bigger plants.
Yeah, for us with the, you know, small plants, I don't need the space. They actually only get transplanted from clone to 1 gallon.
Yep.
And then right into flower with about a 2-week veg. Typically, like, so when I was in Rhode Island, like, we would hold the plant for 36 to 40 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, and grow, you know, large plants.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of risk involved in that. We don't have to do that here. With a no plant limit, I feel, you know, it helps us, one, keep it a little cleaner.
Yep.
You know, there is, you know, pesticide free anyway, but there's less risk of bugs and contamination here.
Sure. So. So what's the size of the space that you're going to grow into mm-hmm. In your new facility?
So the full footprint of the head house. Or the mast, Tim likes to call it.
Yep.
And then the greenhouse. The mast is about 9,000 something square feet, and the greenhouse is like 21,900.
Okay. So,
big difference.
And we talked a little bit earlier. Remind me of the plant count change that you're going to be aiming for.
So, you know, here we have about 10,000 plants at all times between, you know, veg and flower and clone. We're going to have close to about 20,000 plants at all times there.
20,000 plants, yeah. That's doubling?
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. You know, we're going to have a little bit more, you know, spacing on the benches. You can see how close we are here.
Yep.
You know, with the higher humidity, I want to give them a little bit more room, a little more airflow.
Yep.
Also on the benches, you know, perforated benches. Here we have solid benches.
Okay.
Or trays almost.
Yep.
I'm really looking forward to the amount of airflow that we can have when, you know, any water goes to the ground.
Sure.
So... I'm looking forward to that.
Now, with that, as far as a grow tip goes, do you expect that to dry out your plants quicker and cause more frequent waterings? Yeah. Or because they're in bags, maybe not?
Because they're in bags. Yep. Right now, we do pretty much every third day watering. We're pretty water efficient here.
Yep.
So we use about a liter every third day, which is not a lot of water.
No.
You know, if we need a little bit more there, which... We're going to be running probably a little bit hotter. If we need to, we'll water.
Okay, before we jump back in with Chappie and Rob, let's give a little love to Sweetleaf Plant Nutrients, everybody. Just go to sweetleaf.com, sweetleaf.com. Promo code GROWCAST15 gets you 15% off your Sweetleaf Nutrients. And GrowPass members at mygrowpass.com get 25% off their Sweetleaf Nutrients, everybody. Sweetleaf Plant Nutrients, made in the USA. Endorsed by Danny Danko, used by many GrowCast guests like Elaine Keevan and Hota Erb. These guys are great, everybody. Check them out. Sweetleaf Plant Nutrients are premium smart plant nutrients, and they operate with the less is more mentality, giving your plants just what they need, nothing more, nothing less. So they've won all sorts of awards, like the best edible in 2018 Harvest Cup. They took second best flower. They won awards for their CalMag amendment. You've heard about the sweet leaf CalMag. Give that a try. Elaine Keevan was quoted as saying she has never achieved total plant success like she did with Sweet Leaf Nutrients. So if you're looking for a new nutrient, give them a try. Sweetleaf.com, SUITELEAF.com. Promo code GROWCAST15 for 15% off. And when you want to save 25% on your nutrients, MyGrowPass.com. All right, everyone, let's get back to the show.
So you're going to be moving to a sun-grown type setup. What are your thoughts about the sustainability of the cannabis industry and switching to that type of market and that type of grow setup, and how important that is to us as a future industry?
I think, you know, for me anyway, like, you know, the only reason I've ever grown indoors is to hide from the police. You know, like, but, you know, we don't want to be seen. Let's bring it indoors.
Right.
And I think, you know, nothing is grown indoors when it comes to vegetables, unless it's government subsidized. You're getting a grant, or you're getting some money from the feds, and I think it's just natural that you know, you're either going to turn the indoor operation into greenhouse, or you're going to go right outside. It's not sustainable inside. The amount of electricity we use here is completely ridiculous. And guess what? It works right now. With the prices of cannabis, eventually those prices aren't going to be here, and sure, it's going to be a lot thinner margins, and we want to be able to prepare for that, but we also want to be environmentally conscious. You know, I don't want to be responsible, you know, for, you know, the amount of electricity and the fossil fuels that we're using to grow a pound of cannabis.
Right. Yeah, for a typical home grower, I mean, you guys have your new facility in Freetown. Mm-hmm. Dialed in.
Sure.
I mean, there's so many sensors and controls for that entire unit. But dialing in a space in an indoor garden is, you know, typically a whole lot easier for a home grower than to do in a greenhouse or even an outdoor setting. Do you have any tips for, you know, a home grower to kind of take that step?
You know, I think, you know, it really depends. You know, I guess the first thing would be what your environment is, you know, and try to keep it as clean as possible. I think a lot of grows that I've been to, you know, you got leaf on the ground. You have stuff everywhere. Like, the main thing, keep it clean. If you have high humidity, guess what? You're not probably not going to get some mold if you don't have anything to get molding, you know?
But more airflow.
Yeah, more airflow. You know, space-wise, you know, it's, for me, it was always harder to grow in a small tent than an open room.
Sure.
You know, so I think if you have a little extra space, it helps you out too.
Totally.
So
So the last question that we have for you today, and again, thank you for your time and the tour of your facility. We have lots of our listeners are always asking us, how do you get into the industry? What tips do you have for them to take that leap from being a home grower and either coming to work at a place like yours or starting a place in an operation like this?
Don't sleep, eat like crap. it is a lot of work.
Yep.
You know, I think the first part is, like, you need to have a good team. I've always tried to do everything myself.
Yep.
It's not even possible.
Yep.
Like, you need to have a solid town
not
foundation.
On the scale.
No, no. And even, you know, even as a, when I was a caregiver, like, it doesn't work by yourself.
Yep.
You need a team to help you out, because there's always going to be some catastrophe, like this morning with the ACs. You know, like, if I was doing this, I couldn't go clean that up. You know?
Sure.
But yeah, it's be prepared to work a lot for a little. You know, that's another big thing. It's not as, you know, everybody thinks these cannabis growers, oh, they're printing money. Well, the millions of dollars that you had to borrow because you ran out of money real quick,
right,
to get to this point, you got to pay that back, you know? So that's an important piece of it, you know? And for me, you know, being able to raise the capital actually might be the most important part of doing the transition. Minus the team, you need to raise capital. And you need to raise more capital than you actually need because something's going to go wrong. The timeline's never going to be the same, you know. How many times I've heard, hey, you know, I'd like to come work for you a little bit, but I'm actually going for my own license right now. I'm like, oh, great.
So I'm going to come learn all your secrets and apply it in my grow.
And I, truthfully, I'm way okay with that,
yep,
you know. And I think, you know, I'm not saying that I'm doing everything the right way or the only way, but maybe they can learn something. I've seen a lot more failures in cultivation than successes.
I think one of my biggest takeaways from this tour was, like you said, no matter how big you get and how automated you get, the problems never end. So, like, I always experienced that with my 20-light grow in Maine, that shit, the drum overflowed, or a drain got clogged and I had a flood, or I walk in and somehow a plant's on the ground. Like, how does that even, like, how does a whole plant fall over? Like, shit's just bound to happen.
That's great. I had two on the ground this morning. I'm like, how did this happen?
How does that? They're not even the heaviest plants in the room, and they're on the ground. Like, and you know, it's not like your fans upticked all of a sudden and start blowing high. So, you know, one of my takeaways was, no matter how big of an operation that you have to be prepared for those problems. And you know, we're farmers.
Yep.
And you said it many times during the tour, is that you consider yourself to be a farmer. And farmers can address any problem that comes up on their farm.
Yep.
And if they can't address it personally, they know the guy to call to come in and help them with that problem.
Definitely.
So that's part of the team that you are creating, right?
Yeah, no, listen, like, everybody's good at something.
Yep.
You know, and like, I'm no electrician, I'm no carpenter. You have to learn some of these things. And then if you can't learn it, like, you need to have somebody on speed dial that's going to come help you. And most likely a friend of a friend, or you know, somebody you've used in the past, you know.
Yeah.
Because without the right procedures and everything, without all the equipment working correctly, you're not going to be able to, you know, keep a consistent crop. So definitely, like, a learning experience. I guess on the farmer's note, like, yeah, the farmer needs to know about engines. They need to know how to change the tires and when and why they're turning soil.
Yep.
It's the same thing here. When and why are we planting? When are we filling bags? How do we fix the AC that's peeing all over the floor right now?
Right.
The dehumidifier that's a block of ice.
You got power in half your room and not the other half of the room.
Yeah, yeah. We had a lightning strike. I think what makes you a good farmer too is how you react to those. You can run around and throw wrenches, and which I've definitely done plenty of times. But I think if you take a deep breath, look at the problem, and then attack the problem, you're a lot better off than, you know, like I said, freaking out, getting crazy.
So to loop back to my last question, since this obviously wasn't my last question, what are the skills that our audience should try and obtain or master or, you know, learn in order to make an impact in our industry?
So definitely, and I'm actually tempted to take an HVAC class right now.
Yeah.
Even in Freetown, we still have, you know, HVAC system throughout the building. But that's something that's really important, especially on the indoor grow here. That's, you know, your environment is, you know, besides genetics, is your most important thing. And to be able to fix that is, you know, you'd be the best employee ever.
Fixing it and getting it dialed in.
Exactly.
You know, getting it balanced, in large indoor spaces, you can't necessarily cool all of the area all at the same time.
Yeah. One of our newer employees, you know, he was an electrician. You know, that's another big thing, because there's always some electrical problem, or maybe you order something with the wrong plug.
Yep.
I've tried to splice and do all that stuff for myself, and I can make it through, but I'm always thinking that the place is burning down. So it's nice to have somebody else do that.
Sure.
But, you know, HVAC, electrician, you know, labor is another thing. Some people don't want to be head grower, head of cultivation. Like, people want to fill bags. You know, that's another thing. Like, you have to be able to work. You know, you can only watch the plants grow so much. You can only do so much plant maintenance. You know, you need to be able to do the physical work of moving plants, tagging plants. Doesn't need an education. You don't need an education to do that, but you have a strong work ethic.
Yep.
And I think, if you're coming from home grow or black market, wherever you're coming from, be prepared to work, a lot more on the regulated market, because it's really not about growing plants anymore. It's about compliance, safety, and, you know, what the whole team's doing.
Farming isn't easy, whether you're farming lettuce or cannabis.
No, not at all. Actually, so I took a class at University of Arizona, and I was telling them how we had to tag our plants, and they were, the farmers were like, you have to tag your plants? Oh my God, that's so much labor. Guess what? If you get a cantaloupe and somebody dies from it now, they have tagged farms now too. You can figure out where that cantaloupe came from. So that's all stuff that's coming, and it's going to be everywhere. So.
So as we wrap up, do you have any final words of wisdom or advice for our home growers that are listening to us right now?
I guess final advice is if you want to come into the regulated market, it's great. I feel if you want to work at a dispensary as a home grower, sometimes you need to give up that home grow. Part of the issue is your problems. We don't want them to be our problems. Like, you have powdery mildew at your house. Like, I don't want powdery mildew in our house, so sometimes you have to sacrifice. If you really want to be in the industry and make a career out of it, you might have to give up your home grow to get into a regulated market.
Or don't go into your home grow before you come to work.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like suiting up, stuff like that. Like, for me, like, that's just been normal for many years.
Yep.
If I had a home grow right now, I would be doing the same thing. I'd be suiting up, or I'd have uniforms.
Totally.
I'd have bio pads and foot baths and air curtains, and just going, the whole process so that I'm not ruining somebody else's grow.
Right.
So.
Cool.
Awesome.
Thanks for your time.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Got it.
That's our show, everybody. We did that interview for video. And if you want to see our upcoming videos and make sure you stay tuned anytime we post anything, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search us on YouTube, or you can go to growcastpodcast.com/YouTube. Give us a follow there. Always appreciate it. What else we got for the end of the show here? Shout out to Jay Blanked on this beat for the ads, soundcloud.com/JayBlanked. Start to Finish Consulting. Start the number 2, Finish 710 on Instagram for all your cannabis questions. Thank you all so much for tuning in, guys. I will have more GrowCast coming at you. We've got some return guests. Dr. Coco's coming back. Hota Herb's coming back. Some great stuff coming your way in 2020 and beyond. Love you, listeners. Be safe in your grows, everybody. Grow smarter. Bye.